They advise you on whether or not to teach your teenage daughter how to put in a tampon. Believe me, I've checked them all. I've always found shared personal experience to be a valuable learning tool and a very effective way to navigate life. I learn more about parenting and marriage from my girlfriends than from Google, my gynecologist, or Pope Francis. I know that Jesus suffered, and there are tales to tell about that, but I like a more firsthand approach. And how to deal with extramarital affairs. Well, the Dalai Lama won't return my texts. But I have women friends with real experience who can share some pretty daunting cautionary tales. And I have a few doozies based on my own exposure to life that I would like to pass along. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to start a cult or replace Megyn Kelly on daytime TV. I just think there is a much bigger impact when someone you know shares his or her experience. No doubt, that's why the mom circles are so strong. It's the shared information. We do become a village raising our kids. It also humanizes us to be able to express our own fears, anxieties, and ignorance. Think about the volcanic reaction to recent allegations of sexual predators, of which clearly there are many and in every industry and faction of the workplace. A person speaks out and reveals a personal story, and then in a domino effect, more people speak out, and it brings to light an epidemic. But let me put the brakes on here for a second so your expectations aren't too high about what you're about to read or listen to. Or just put on the shelf because the jacket is pretty and you need something to put under the photo of your cat. This is basically a humor book, and sexual predators are only in the introduction to make a point. There's nothing religious, political, or ideological in the following pages. There might be one Republican joke, I can't remember. Instead, I'm offering you the sum total of what I figured out over the years. Things I know for sure, things I've learned the hard way, and the answers to questions others have posed to me over the years. Yes, that's the half-baked advice part, but as I mentioned before, I am known for my baking skills. Call it my sense and sensibility or the mixed-up life of Allie Wentworth, but if you don't find at least one revelatory nugget, then I promise I will come to your house and do your laundry. Within the tri-state radius, schedule permitting, and not including Jewish holidays. If I can't make it, I'll send my husband. And if I can give you one piece of advice, you should buy this book for everyone you know or have ever met. Part 1, This Much I Know. Personally, I think that if a woman hasn't met the right man by the time she's 24, she may be lucky. From Deborah Carr. Chapter 1, Getting to the Chapel. When I arrived at Liz's apartment, her fiancé, Danny, told me she'd been locked in the bathroom for more than 2 hours. I assumed she had a blemish, she was gouging with tweezers and a bottle of witch hazel, or was shaving her entire body. She is Armenian and hair is her nemesis. "She's been crying and totally freaking out," he said, sounding somewhat concerned. "I'm sure it's just nerves or a hygiene issue," I gently knocked on the bathroom door. "Hey, Liz, I'm here. Herpes flare-up? Listen, the limo is downstairs. Do you want me to take anything down? Do you have your veil on?" The only noise from the bathroom was a running faucet and a few thumps. I believe the first thump was a white satin Jimmy Choo pump being thrown against the shower wall. The second might have been her head. I waited downstairs in the black Cadillac limousine for what seemed like hours. Just me, the driver with no personality who smelled like pepperoni, and a blasting air conditioner that had my legs looking like something you'd find at a morgue. At last, the car door opened and a large, disgruntled lace pastry shoved herself in. The driver started the ignition and we began our journey up Third Avenue. "What the hell am I doing?" Liz wailed. "You're getting married. You're just nervous." Well, I knew it wasn't nerves. This was the state of a woman en route to a hanging, not her wedding. Not dead man walking, but rather dead woman being driven in a fancy car. "I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Liz, listen. Do you want me to get you a pill? Do you have your Lexapro with you? Or Xanax? What about those pills you take when you fly?" "I'm making a big mistake," she shrieked as she grabbed the handle of the car door. Whoa. Don't try to open that. "That's a really expensive dress, and you're going to get blood all over it. Now take a deep breath." Liz took a deep breath and stared out the car window, anxious and distraught, the way I assumed O.J. Simpson felt in the white Bronco. "You don't have to do this," I whispered. "Yes, I do," she whimpered back. "There are 300 people coming." "That's not a reason to get married. It's costing my dad $60 a plate." "Well, that is definitely the best reason to get married." We drove the rest of the way up Madison Avenue in silence. Occasionally, Liz would blow her nose or reapply lip gloss. After hours of weeping,